Thank you very much. Of course, first of all, I would like to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to present my work here, especially Edu for his help. And well, I'm going to talk about the extraction of vacuum entanglement of quantum correlations from the vacuum, in particular in a setup of circuit 3D, circuit quantum electrodynamics. Well, I just recently moved to the group of Yvette Puentes in Nottingham, but so far I have been working in the group of Juan León in Madrid with these guys here, Borja Pero Padre, Marco del Rey, Juan García Repol, and of course Juan, and also with Edu, who was here in Madrid, but is now in IQC here in Waterloo. And well, what I'm going to talk about is that the backing of a quantum field is an entangled state, as you all know. And the question is if we can extract these correlations to qubits. And this is important for at least two reasons, both as a proof of principle, which will be relevant, for instance, for the Unruh effect, and also because this could be useful for as a resource for quantum information tasks. And well, the vacuum of a quantum field contains two types of correlations between different points of space, as has been discovered by Benny Resnick and collaborators, but also correlations between different points of time, between now and then, as I say here, which has been pointed out by Tim Ralph and collaborators. And in this talk, we are going to talk about how we can extract these correlations in a particular circuit quantum electrodynamics setup. And so the first message of the talk is that circuit 3D is an interesting framework to perform experiments of fundamental questions in quantum mechanics or in quantum field theory, because it's like a one-dimensional quantum field theory, but with the advantage of being experimentally amenable, in the sense that we can tune the parameters and we can achieve regimes that with the real quantum field theory are unachievable. So the model that we consider is a model that we have developed in detail in a different paper about the Fermi problem with artificial atoms in circuit QED. And well, it consists of a pair of superconducting qubits which are connected through an open transmission line. Since the transmission line is open and is not a cavity, we have all the modes of the quantum field along the transmission line. So the initial state is this guy here in the excited state, and the other guy here in the ground state, and the vacuum of the field is in the ground state, in the back, sorry, the field is in the vacuum state, and the qubits are separated by a fixed distance error. And well, so we have this Hamiltonian here, which is a free Hamiltonian for both the qubits and the field, and also the interaction Hamiltonian. The field is given in terms of the creation and annihilation operators, of course, which has this standard commutation relationships, and we have a propagation velocity for the quanta of the field, which is given in terms of the microscopic details of the model. And the interaction Hamiltonian is just a dimensional reduction of the, let's say, electric dipole Hamiltonian with real atoms and the electromagnetic field. And it's kind of point-like interaction. But by point-like, we don't mean that the qubits are really point-like, but only that the interaction, as a good approximation, can be considered as point-like. And well, what we have done is we have computed the evolution of the initial state in second-order perturbation theory beyond the rotating wave approximation. And then we trace over the field degrees of freedom, so we obtain a reduced density matrix for both qubits, and we compute the evolution of the entanglement as given, for instance, by the concurrence in terms of this parameter here, this dimensionless parameter here, which essentially tells us if the qubits are inside or outside the light cone. So when this parameter is shorter than 1, they are outside the light cone, and when this parameter is larger than 1, they are inside the light cone. So we can see here three different curves according to three different values of the capillary strength, and the larger the capillary strength, the larger the entanglement is. And we can see two important things here. The first one is that we have a big peak here, which in some sense indicates the difference between this region and this other region. But we have also the fact that entanglement can be generated before the qubit center one into the light cone of the other, as a consequence of the transfer of vacuum entanglement, correlations coming from the vacuum. So the conclusions of this first part of the talk are that entanglement can be generated between space-like separated qubits as a consequence of a transfer of quantum correlations from the vacuum, and also that the entanglement dynamics is sensitive to the existence of a light cone, and that these effects are proportional to the capillary strength. And since, as I said before, in this setup, the capillary strength can be tuned with more freedom than in the, let's say, in the reality, in the nature, well, we can achieve a strong and even ultra-strong capillary regime, so we can go beyond the typical values of the capillary strength in, with real atoms on the electromagnetic field. So now we are going to consider a slightly different proposal in which the qubit, instead of interact both at the same time with the vacuum of the quantum field, interact at different times. So let's say that we have a qubit P for past interacting with the field during a given time T on, and then we switch on. We switch off the interaction, so the interaction is disconnected for a given time T off, and then we switch off, switch on again the interaction for a different qubit, which is separated by a distance r, a fixed distance r. And so the evolution is given by this expression here, the evolution of the state. And notice that we have three different space-time regions according to the relationship between T on, T off, and R. So we have a region 1 in which the qubits are space-like separated, and a region 2 in which the qubits are time-like separated, but a given probability of photon exchange is allowed between the qubits. And we have also a third region in which the qubits are time-like separated, but since the delay time T off is larger than the separation between the qubits, well, there is no photon exchange whatsoever. The photon exchange is forbidden, right? So only in regions 1 and 3 we have a pure effect of vacuum entanglement, because of course in region 2 this effect is assisted by the given probability of photon exchange between the qubits. And what we have done is, well, we have computed the entanglement dynamics of this system, between the entanglement between the qubits, of course, of this system, for different values of T on and T off. And you can see here this density plot for a given value of the distance between the qubits. Here, of course, lambda is the wavelength associated to the qubit gap. And what we can see here is we have entanglement in the three different space-time regions. In this plot, this is a vertical cut of this density plot here, so we have fixed the delay time T off, in particular is zero, is this cut here, and so here we are in region 1, and here again we are in region 2, at both sides of this kind of peak, and we see that we have entanglement both in region 1 and region 2. And this plot below is a horizontal cut of the density plot. So we have fixed the interaction time T on, and according to the different values of T off, the qubits are passing from one region of the space side to the other. So we have entanglement in the three different space-time regions, and we have a remarkable symmetry between region 1 and region 3, which means that if the interaction time is fixed, the amount of entanglement generated is the same regardless that the qubits are, whether the qubits are space-like or time-like. This is for this value of the distance. When we increase the value of the distance, of course, the entanglement generated by vacuum correlations diminishes dramatically with the distance. So when we go to this value of the distance, for instance, well, entanglement is restricted to region 2, where the entanglement is not only transference of vacuum correlation, but is assisted by a certain probability of photon exchange. Of course, in this region, the generation of entanglement is not that surprising as in region 1 or 3, but it's not completely trivial, right? Because, of course, some classical correlations were expected, but these quantum correlations and to this high degree of entanglement are not completely trivial, right? So, one interesting thing that we can do is perform teleportation in time, as was first suggested by Tim Ralph and collaborators, and is pretty much the same as in the Vertigo film of Alfred Hitchcock. It's just like a standard teleportation protocol, but the quantum channel is generated after the Bell measurement. So, guess that there is something that you want to preserve, for instance, Kim Novak in Vertigo, with the green dress and the red background of Ernest's restaurant. So this is something that you want to preserve, and this is what I call qubit K. So what we can do is let another qubit interact with the field during a certain time t on, then we perform a Bell measurement of both P and K during a given, during this delay time t off, and write down the result. And finally, let F interact with the field during the given time t on. So what F has now is something that is similar to K, but not exactly the same, right? So you have to change the haircut and the dress, which is exactly what James Stewart does in the film, if you remember Vertigo. And finally, with the results of the measurement, you recover qubit K. And the fidelity of this non-standard teleportation protocol depends on the amount of entanglement generated between qubits past and future. So this is a quantum memory, isn't it? Right? It's kind of a device that can store the information of a quantum state during a given time and then recover the, this information in a different qubit in the future. So the question is, this is something that we can actually do in a real experiment, and the answer is yes, this is something that we can do if we use this particular setup with a particular proposal of superconducting qubits, which were first suggested by Borja Pelopadre and collaborators Paul Forn, Enrique Solano, and Juanjo in this letter here, and that we have developed in detail in our work. Well, with these superconducting qubits, which essentially consists of three Josephson junctions and an additional split here, and this two superconducting loop structure, we can have an interaction Hamiltonian which can be tunable in strength. And the point is that the interaction strength can be adjusted at almost at will by changing the external magnetic flux through the squid. And for a given configuration of these magnetic fluxes here, V1, 2, and 3, we can in particular switch on and off these things. In particular, switch on and off the interaction extremely fast, in times that are only limited by the times at which we can adjust the magnetic flux in the sweep. So, conclusions are that we propose a realistic setup for the extraction of quantum correlations from the vacuum of a quantum field, both correlations between different space-time points, but also between different times. And with this latter possibility, we can perform things like teleportation in time and quantum memories. And the framework that we use is CERBIT-QED, which is kind of an artificial one-dimensional matter-radiation interaction with superconducting qubits and transmission lines. And we have exploited the possibility of achieving an ultra-strong and switchable coupling strength with these qubits and transmission lines. And let me just conclude with some verses of T.S. Eliot, which of course, already know, like a century ago, that the future and the past were entangled. Thank you very much.